I'm running for Northampton Town Community Trust, the organisation I work for. We are the charitable arm of Northampton Town Football Club. We run about 35 different projects with people ages of 5 to 95 with over 1,000 participants a week. I'm running for the education department, as I said, with the link to children. The aim is to raise funds for children in poverty. There's four strands to where the funds will go. So within the education department, the key thing that we do is deploy education and sport mentors into schools where they work really closely with most vulnerable children, either one-to-one or in small groups, physical activity, activities over lunch times, breakfast clubs. It's working with the children in poverty there that may be going through various different trauma.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Running Tales. I'm Craig Lewis and this week's podcast guest is Damon Fox. Damon is currently attempting to run 750 kilometres in just 12 weeks to raise £5,000 for Northampton Town's Community Trust. Damon, who works as a business development manager at the Trust, is taking on the Covering the Distance challenge to help support children in poverty in Northampton. It's a great cause and one that I'd really encourage you all to support. I also spoke to Damon about being a committed parkrunner, as well as his experience of completing the London Marathon in 2017. It being, finally, a sunny day, we decided to record this week's episode in the garden. Now, I'll let you be the judge as to whether my occasionally screaming cat and my neighbour's unusual interjection about naked sunbathing add to the overall conversation or not. But I started off by asking Damon about his current challenge and why he's doing it.
Well, hello. Thank you very much for having me on, Craig. So currently doing a huge challenge, doing 750 kilometres over 12 weeks. The reason I chose that is I work at the Northampton Town Community Trust. We do a lot of work with children. I've spent the last sort of 15 years working in education. So obviously making a difference to children's lives means quite a lot to me. I came from a bit of a broken home myself, so I felt the need to sort of support those children, so I understand in some cases where they're coming from and what they have to deal with. So there is actually 7,500 children in poverty in Northampton, which is why I got that number of 750. And I've decided to spread it over 12 weeks because there's a range of different people that are getting involved along the way. And the most important thing is in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to start running with all the school children that we work with. So every school I'm currently working with as part of Northampton Town Community Trust is going to run a mile with me, Key Stage 1, then Key Stage 2, which is over 75 partner schools, which is quite exciting.
That's a huge undertaking in terms of mileage and getting that amount of mileage in over those weeks. How are you finding the runs at the moment and finding the time to fit them all in and the strain of having to do one after the other?
Surprisingly good. People keep reminding me at different points how big a challenge this is. I think when I picked the number, I thought, okay, the 12 weeks, the 84 days, that will spread it out nicely. But it's that consistent of training. I have done a London Marathon, which I guess we'll probably talk about in a minute. That was 6 years ago, though. So to get back into a routine of training this often, it's not something I've done for a long time. So having to obviously spread it out across every day. I found it quite easy to build in because I stopped for my role of sustainability using my car a lot. So I got used to walking. So it's very similar to walking to work. It's almost just fitting in another half an hour here and there, but obviously them Sunday runs are the ones because I do a big long run for a couple of hours now and it's just part of my routine. But yeah, some days so far it's been like, oh yeah, I'm doing this challenge and now I'm only halfway. But then other days people are asking me, saying, look, how are you coping? It's quite far. And I'm like, fine. So yeah, all good.
And part of what you're doing as well, we'll get on to the why in a bit more detail in a second, but part of what you're doing is speaking to other inspirational people around Northamptonshire about what they've been doing and how they're helping people in whatever field they're in. How did that idea come up, and talk us through maybe one or two of the people you've spoken to?
Yeah, I was obviously with the fundraising, there's lots of ways to fundraise and there's lots of people fundraising at different times. To be honest, I didn't realise how many were going to start fundraising at the time I timed it. We do our own fundraising event that I've been part of last year, which is called the Claret Mountaineers, where we climb mountains. That's later in the year, so I thought I've got to time it so the fundraising will have an impact. So I thought, well, March is a good time to start and do it over 12 weeks. It'll finish before this one starts. And then I started to see everybody raising for the London Marathon and then everyone running for this and then raising for this and raising for that. But yeah, the idea came with obviously looking at different things. I knew I was going to be doing these long runs. So one of the things I've suggested people is they can sponsor me 50 pence and put a track list in on my playlist for when I go on a long run on a Sunday. It just incentivizes some children as well, and some families that might want to obviously pick songs, in some cases silly songs. But then the idea of sort of James Corden carpool karaoke, I've seen, is obviously very popular. There's a lot of hits on the internet. And the fact that I work at the Community Trust, my role is business development manager, I almost wanted to find a way that I could give back to those businesses if they did support me on the fundraising. So a way I could do that was by spreading the message about who they are, what their company does. But then ultimately, with running or with anything healthy lifestyles, I wanted to understand how people look after themselves and keep, obviously, that work-life balance, which is why I obviously decided to do the on-the-road, as I've called it, little chats when we go out running these 5Ks. So, yeah, I think the first one I did was a lady called Charlene Ward-Grieve. She runs our Women and Girls programme at the Community Trust. I've run with a couple of staff, but then since then it's been different businesses, from Lee the other day at DFS, who's donated a sofa to Community Trust recently. I've run with James Cushing from City Fibre. So lots of different people, and there's lots more to come as well.
You mentioned there the fundraising element of it in terms of how hard it's, or how potentially hard it could be. I mean, first of all, obviously within your job, getting in money is very important anyway, but for what you're doing now as well, I mean, has that become harder? We're all a little bit poorer than we have been. Is that a real problem these days?
I don't know, because there's obviously, we've talked about the London Marathon just last week, and the amount of people running in that, and the amount of people raising money, and that seems to get bigger and bigger. And then you see children in need, and it seems to only get bigger and bigger. So I think it's about being creative, and I think with the world of social media and the way that you can get out and attract different people, I think I've definitely had people sponsor me that I have no idea who they are. So I've obviously touched and got involved, and as well, that I think that's part of it. A few people have got in touch with me and said, you've inspired me to start running again. So that's really nice. And then that does bring that incentive on their part to maybe sponsor me a little bit more. So I think it's being creative with what you're doing to raise the funds. And then, like I said, the different ways to engage has definitely worked. And then people telling other people is always the way, I guess. And yeah, I think the school children being at the heart of it, which is what I'm doing, is a good idea.
You get in trouble here. We're doing a live podcast, Paul. Oh.
Naked sunbathing. We're
going to
have to call it naked sunbathing now.
Yeah, now we've got a reason to put a new headline, which will get all kinds of people listening to it who wouldn't have done before.
The nighttime ones.
You're okay. I'd normally just stay out, but I think we might leave it in.
We might have to.
I was just going back. We just did an article on the Substack newsletter that we run, looking at the real relationship that there is between running and fundraising for charity. And obviously people think of the London Marathon, but we had a chap who did that a couple of weeks ago. He's done 5 marathons in 5 weeks to raise money for Dementia UK. And you see people like Kevin Sinfield out raising huge amounts of money. Yeah. There is a real relationship between running and charity, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's not just the cause and what it's about, because there's so many different reasons to raise money for charity, so many different illnesses that are out there and things that need support for science and stuff. But yeah, it's that person. I think it's what they're doing, maybe what they're wearing, how they're doing it. Can they come up with something different? You mentioned the five marathons in 5 weeks, which is a killer blow to me when I saw that, because obviously trying to spread it over 12 weeks, and I saw someone doing 5 marathons in 5 days as well, and I was like, just give me a break. So that's when I'm quite positive, because I'm reminded about how long I'm going for. Consistency of 84 days and 750k in that period is quite good. But yeah, there's definitely I think it's not just celebrities either. I think the right characters and the right people, wherever they go, they get picked up on. I think there was a guy I was watching during the London Marathon start who was in a wheelchair, who aspired to do a marathon, and someone met him, was inspired by him, and they did it together and they ran together. And obviously that just gets people more interested again.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk to me a little bit more about the charity that you're doing it for. And I always ask this question to people who are doing future charities, and I kind of can hear people screaming at me through the podcast, Craig, that's the most stupid question in the world. You know the answer to it, but tell me how it would help the people who you're doing it for.
Yeah. I'm running for Northampton Town Community Trust, the organisation I work for. We are the charitable arm of Northampton Town Football Club. We run about 35 different projects with people ages of 5 to 95, with over 1,000 participants a week. I'm running for the education department, as I said, with the link to children. The aim is to raise funds for children in poverty. There's four strands to where the funds will go. So within the education department, the key thing that we do is deploy education and sport mentors into schools where they work really closely with most vulnerable children, either one-to-one or in small groups, physical activity, activities over lunch times, breakfast clubs or attendance-focused stuff as well. So it's working with the children in poverty there that may be going through various different trauma and ACEs challenges. And if people on the podcast obviously listening, not sure what ACEs mean, that adverse childhood experiences there, whether that's drug and alcohol misuse in the home or domestic violence and things like that, or just living in poverty with obviously no funds and struggling obviously for food. Other parts, we've got a mental health program, so that's delivered to generally children in years 5 and 6, where over 12 weeks we talk to them about dealing with closure, anxiety, so we want to work with those vulnerable children again on that. We have one-off takeover days where we go into school and sort of just light up the school for the day. We take Clarence the Dragon, our mascot, lots of fun activities involved in that and different versions of those. And then finally, little things such as just paying for a child's kit. If they can't afford a kit, little things like that, or if they're talented, they're living in poverty and they're talented at whether it's performing arts, drama, sports, whatever, we get them travel there, we get them to the place they need to go, and we fund that. So yeah, we're trying to spread that amount as well across lots of different things.
And physical activity for anyone, but for children it can make a huge difference, and getting them into running, that can be something that can help, I guess, with their own mental health and their own fitness and so on, really. So huge benefits through that.
Absolutely, yeah. One of the things that previous organisation and what I'm trying to do now at the Trust is inspire children to be physically active in running, yes, other activities, and how it can develop their personal development, their emotional well-being side of things, improve their healthy lifestyles, especially at a young age where you're still learning off adults and making decision making. Physical activity produces a lot of endorphins that allow you to be obviously really positive and a lot happier. So yeah, I want to inspire children in whatever I do, physical activity, but running definitely, it did that for me anyway.
Well, that was the next question I was going to go, because you sort of hinted that you had problems in your childhood yourself, and obviously you're a keen runner too. Was running that's something that helps you through those problems to deal with them, or is it something you sort of found later and thought, God, I could have done with it when I was a bit younger?
It's a funny one, because it's almost like come around full circle, because I'm a passionate footballer. I love all sports, but football was the thing in my family. My dad played. He played to a half a decent standard. My current brothers are playing now, and they love football. So all I did every weekend was my dad would take me to football. But it wasn't until I got to secondary school when I realised I could run, and we did cross country in year 7 and year 8. I also found out then through my family and my dad that my aunties were like holding a record of cross country at the school that I was at for like the last 15 years before I'd gone there. So, and they continued to do that. I think it was only broken about maybe 5-10 years ago, a long time after I'd left. So yeah, year 7 we did cross country through the little town of Brigg in North Lincolnshire where I'm from, and ended up getting second I think in year 7, and then I did it again in year 8 and got a third. So obviously I realised I liked running, and I think that was it then. It's completely dropped running. I don't remember doing much running. It was still football, it was secondary school, and it was playing football until I was older. Running was never something, but I knew I could just get up and run and I wouldn't have a problem. I could go quite far. I'm obviously built, I would say. When you say you're built for running, people say there is a built for running. I'm one of those. But it wasn't then until probably work life started to get a bit stressful, getting into my 30s, that I found parkrun. And I was actually in Nottingham now. I'd moved, and with the work that I was doing in education, I'd moved from Lincolnshire to Nottingham. And my first ever parkrun was at Forest Rec. So I don't know if you've ever covered that one or whatever. Some people love to obviously travel the different parkruns and tick them off. But Forest Rec was my first ever one, I think. First ever time around was around 23 something, which you look on that, people be like, oh, that's really, really good. But then obviously it was that challenge of getting it down every week. It was like something to look forward to. I'd go running in the evenings a few times a week, and that was really where the running kicked in again.
Yeah, part run is it's just a huge thing for people, isn't it? And it makes such a massive difference to people's mental health and the community and so on. I mean, and what's that found? Did you run on your own before that and then you found parkrun? It was like, hold on, there's a load of other people who are the same as me, and I can go for these targets, but I can also have a chat with people and really enjoy it.
Yeah, I think one of my old friends who was from Nottingham originally, and she was moved to Lincoln, told me about it, and she'd moved back to Nottingham and said, and she wasn't really a runner, she's a personal trainer now, and she wasn't at the time, but I just did it for myself. It was work was quite busy. I needed an outlet to get out and just think things over, like get everything out from the day and then just like switch off. So I used to just go running after 5:30 and just run locally. It was no more than a 5K. So then it tied in nicely because I felt by getting fitter in the week, I could then do that challenge. And it just was a motivational challenge. I'm quite competitive. I like something that motivates me, and that was it. So then it was a case of, right, the t-shirts get to 50, etc. But then I moved around again. But obviously that's the great thing about Park Run. Wherever you go, there is one. Wherever you travel, there is one. And that was it. Yeah, I got to my 50, and then I started looking at helping other people. I think it was 2017 when I decided to do the London Marathon for a smaller charity. Heart Research UK, they're a Leeds-based company. They were doing some work with us at my previous organisation, where we were going to schools and promoting how to look after your heart and not get involved in smoking and things like that. And they needed some runners. They had some places, and I ran it for them. So that was my first experience of a marathon. By then, I'd moved to Grantham, so I was training in the middle of nowhere, running up to Bingham and places like that, and building my runs up a lot, and obviously continuing to tick off my park runs. And then I also used it, I'm not going to lie, it wasn't intentional, but for work relationships as well. So I noticed one time I was running, and I mentioned Kate Rouse. She was a head teacher that I'd worked with previously. She was one of the first schools I ever taught in Lincoln. I just saw her running. I'd not seen her in ages, and I ran past her. I was like, "Hi, Kate, you all right?" And then at the end, I just went and chatted to her, caught up. From then, we just started running together, and I was in a place where I was quite comfortable. I wasn't going for PB, so I just started running with her, getting a time down. And again, she's someone who's gone on to run marathons and half marathons since that day. So that, obviously, I enjoy doing that side of things as well.
Yeah, encouraging other people is a massive element of park run and of running in general, or at least it can be. I mean, I don't think there's not anything wrong with people who are really out there goal orientated, trying to get their fastest 5K, their fastest marathon, whatever it may be. But also, there is a massive part of a community that helps each other to get better, and better doesn't always mean faster. It just means, you know, better mental health, feeling better, better relationships and so on.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've got on my record, so to speak, I've got a 46 minute park run, I've got a 30 something minute park runs, and that's because those days I wanted to help other people. So I think I'll always do that. I've probably got one regret though, because I had, before this challenge, and another reason why I've done this challenge is I had a long knee injury last year where I barely could do anything. I could walk properly some days and it was a lot of pain. Never got to a physio. I was on a waiting list. I got a letter the other day still asking me if I want to be on that waiting list. And if anything, I probably should have done more volunteering. I think I've done about 5-6 in the past, and maybe that was a chance. But you said it at the beginning as well. How do you keep fitting in all these running and stuff like that as well? I've obviously got a family. I've got a wife, and obviously quite an interesting job, which keeps me busy. And got other sports and passions as well that I'm into. So, yeah, fitting the running in as well as all of that has obviously been tricky, especially when you've got a knee injury.
Yeah, it's a big thing about running, isn't it? Because you can... I've spoken to some people who running almost saved their lives from addiction or whatever, but it can become another addiction, a healthier addiction, but still something that takes up huge amounts of your time and so on. And it's quite difficult sometimes to get that balance right, isn't it?
Yeah, I've started to feel, obviously, getting involved with different people during this challenge and seeing all the stuff out there. I'm very positive about what they're doing. If that's making a difference to them, if that's what they want to do, good for them, like, fantastic. And I know about a gentleman that works at another community sports organisation here who set himself a challenge of running like 10K a day, and just he's continued to do that, and he runs marathons all over the world, and that's their thing. That's great for them. That's absolutely fantastic. But yeah, for me, it's a part hobby. I'm very addicted at the minute because, unfortunately, I keep getting park run PBs, which does make you want to keep coming back and doing more. But I think once this challenge is over, I will go back to, and I know my wife will want me to go back to, just the steady 2 or 3 5Ks a week and just the park run.
And another thing which takes up loads of time is the London Marathon, or any marathon. How did you actually get on the end of it? How did you find the experience?
Love the experience. When I finished, I was like, I'm never doing that again. And then 2 days later, he's like, yeah, you want to do it again? But I never got round to it. I have entered the ballot this time, so hopefully I go back and do that. I think, obviously, this has made me realise that that was 6 years ago, and I was 31 and now 37, and I can still run. And if I'm getting these PBs in park run, I can definitely still do it. The day itself was absolutely incredible. I think the weather was beautiful. Any regrets? Probably not, because I went off at a nice pace. I'd never ran the full distance in train. I think I'd run about 22 miles, so saved the last four. Did get a bit cramped up. Got people supporting you, as you know, when that happens, and all along the way, people offering you London Pride as well while you're trying to trying to run on the side of the road and all sorts. But oh yeah, it was an amazing experience, amazing weekend. When I finished, and obviously seeing everybody, I was pretty tired, but I think about half an hour later, I was fine, and I was getting fueled up with food. And yeah, I definitely recommend it to anybody to do that. Just for the, when I say about people say they're going to do it now, I just say go and enjoy it, just soak it all in. That chance to see all the London sights while you're running as well is really nice.
Yeah, for people who sort of follow our social media on Running Tales, I've seen that Michelle did it last week or whenever it was now. Yeah, I think it was last week. Guys, it's flown by this week, and as soon as she could start walking again, I think things amazingly returned to normal quite quickly. But I went and watched, and the atmosphere you can't quite capture on TV, just how many people there are and just how loud it is and how it can really spur runners on when they're really struggling and they're hitting that wall.
Definitely. I think one of my biggest memories was running over London Bridge. I just think that blue, that baby blue on the blue sky as well was just lovely, and the grey of the bridge, it was really nice. And yeah, like I said, all the way around, you have people supporting you and they don't know you, and especially if you have your name as well on my T-shirt, which I did, and people were just shouting your name as if they've never met you. It was really cool. I'd also do like a bit of singing, and to be honest, I don't know how I find that. I'm getting this more and more, but I had my headphones. I think I ran with my headphones on, and they weren't the small little plugs either. These were big, gigantic headphones that I was running in, and I was singing most of the way around as well. When good tracks were coming on, I was just singing out loud as I was galloping past people until I got to 22 miles.
Yeah, there's no more energy left for singing. Yeah. If you're still singing at 22 miles, you haven't been running fast enough.
Maybe not, no, but I'm fine. I am. I'm finding over these training runs that I've done this week that I am still able to get that breath. I did a couple of notes on the way here to you, but maybe there is something wrong with me. I was thinking that obviously different people are running with me as part of this challenge, and I'm thinking, right, if I was running with them and started singing next to them, they'd be annoyed, because I'm literally, where is he finding the lungs to do that? But yeah, it's just something I'm into. I love music, so I like a bit of a sing as well.
Yeah, I won't make you sing now unless you really want to, but I was just going to say, but you're obviously in the middle of a massive goal now, and you've sort of suggested that you might be looking to pare things down a little bit afterwards to make sure you actually get to see your family. But are there any other sort of goals in your mind, anything that might be coming next?
No, there isn't actually, because this was sort of a... Now, this is a great idea. It's a great cause. It's a good distance. The numbers make sense. It's a challenge for me, and I have had some really enjoyable personal achievements along this way. And then there isn't. I'm quite happy. I'll say I've done it. It was part of my, obviously, work to do a fundraiser for the Community Trust this year, and then it'll be hopefully back to normal. And like I said, I am going to have to put some commitment back in, as much as the running, and to the wife as well, because she's obviously watching me go out every day, seeing me go, making sure I come back, and then helping me on a Sunday, especially when it's Sunday dinner straight after, and rest up and stretch all that out again. So now it'll be hopefully back to music and gigs and stuff. So I haven't been to some of that for a while.
Yeah. And if people want to see how you're getting on with the rest of the challenge, and most importantly want to sponsor you to do it, where should they go and check you out?
Well, I'm on Twitter, do a lot on Twitter and LinkedIn. So Fox_Damon on Twitter, and just Damon Fox on LinkedIn. There's a Just Giving page, which again, you can either find through the Northampton Town FC Community Trust, or I think it's justgiving.com/Damon Fox, and you'll come across me in the running challenge. So yeah, any support would be absolutely brilliant.
Superb. Well, Damon, thank you so much for joining us today on the Running Tales podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Damon Fox for joining us on this week's Running Tales podcast. Please go and sponsor Damon and check out all his social media channels to keep up to date with his progress. If you enjoyed this week's episode, please give us a positive rating or review wherever you listen. It really does help other people to find the podcast. Now, quickly before you head off today, I just want to tell you about Alan. Now, Alan's not this chap's real name, but a few years ago when I was working at BBC Radio Northampton, I produced a homelessness documentary.
And I spoke to a lot of people about it, from councillors to charity workers, church ministers to shop owners. But I was really most keen to speak to those people who spent their days and nights on our streets. And one of those was Alan. Now, Alan was an alcoholic who'd fallen on hard times, but he always had a cheery welcome and a word for people. I spent many hours sitting on the street chatting to Alan about his addiction, about his gripes against the local council, how he'd been beaten up by a fellow Ross sleeper who took offence to him for no real reason at all, just the way things were after a few drinks, and about what it was like to live without a roof over your head. Alan and I also spoke about how people treat and perceive rough sleepers, from ignoring them to verbal and even physical abuse. And one day he told me about how this kind of treatment had extended beyond the strangers who walked past him every day. Alan said he'd been sitting on the road begging when he saw a man who he recognised, and this was not any man, but someone who Alan had been close with back in the days when Alan had a good job, Alan had a big house. This was a man who had not just been Alan's friend, but had in fact been his best man for a marriage, sadly long since the victim of alcoholism and addiction. Alan told me that the shame on this man's face at the memory of his acquaintance with a homeless person was striking, and that with not much more than a quick hello, Alan's best man had dropped £5 in his hand and disappeared as fast as he could. That story is just one instance of what homeless people, rough sleepers, have to deal with every day. And it's a fairly minor instance in the great scheme of things where people are being spat on, set on fire, verbally and physically assaulted. But it's the sort of thing that can obviously get deep into someone's psyche, and it certainly had done with Alan. So on Saturday, May the 20th, which is not far away now, I will be attempting to run for 6 hours, hopefully around about 30 miles, to raise money for a charity in Northampton called Project 1615. It's a charity which helps rough sleepers to find their dignity, as well as helping to feed them and to give them clothes when they need it as well. I'll be running for Alan, and I'll be running for all the others like him. If you have a quick look in the show notes, there's a link to an article in there which has got some more details about the 1615 run. Anyone can come along, turn up, take part, join in. We'd really love to see you there, and about how you can sponsor me as well. Thanks again for joining us on Running Tales. I really hope you enjoyed Damon's story this week, and we will see you again next week for another Running Tales podcast.